All that nothing's been recorded until now. I'm asking you to consider this. Which is more important to you? Does that really manifest itself in the way that you are training up your children? We emphasize the secular. Get your homework. Go to class. Get good grades. If you don't, I'm going to take away your phone. I'm going to ground you to your room. You're going to get the good grades. You're going to get good grades. What about Bible study? What about worship services and Bible classes? What about sitting down with them and teaching them the will of God? What do we truly have first in our hearts, in our lives? What are we truly passing on to our children when we emphasize the secular over the spiritual? Things to think about. I want to present to you 7 points of emphasis that we need to consider in raising our children. 7 points of emphasis. We do live in an ungodly world. How do we counter that? I want to begin. Point 1, we need to teach them about love. We need to teach them how to love by loving them. Love in our society has been so twisted around and perverted. We think of love, we automatically, seemingly think of sex. It's not love. Love is to value something. Love is to treat something as valuable. Love is to highly esteem and make it our priority. You see, what we prioritize in our life and what we truly value in our life, that's what we really love. Love is not so much about how you feel about a thing from an emotional perspective. It's not, it gives me this giddy feeling inside. Now, if I truly value something, if I truly prioritize that thing, I will feel a certain way about it. But how I feel is not what love is. It's my value. It's my priorities. It's my commitment to a thing. That's what love is. And so we need to teach them how to love by seeking their best interest. Are they really valuable to us? Is their soul valuable to us? Again, our true values will be seen in what we seek for our children. Do we focus on the material, the secular, the financial? Or do we focus on the spiritual? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That is, He valued us enough to sacrifice His Son for us so that we may have life, spiritual life. That's what love is. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 10, Paul defines love for us, how it's patient, it's long-suffering, it's kind, it's good. It's uplifting. Love does what is best. And many times what is best is not what the recipient of that love enjoys at the moment. Doing what's best is not always what is wanted, but it's still what is best. Doing what is best for another in their overall best interest, especially spiritual. We love them most by teaching them to love God. And we teach them best how to love God when we love God ourselves. Do we teach them, try to train them to love God? Not just know about God, but teach them to love God. Not just teach them to believe there is a God, but to teach them to truly trust in God. Do we truly love them and value them as we should? Do we love them enough to teach them to love others? We teach them about love. We teach them how to love. And we teach them how to love by helping others. We are commanded. This is a primary fundamental command in Scripture, right? Love God first. Love our neighbor second. Mark 12, 29 through 31. Love. What about our brothers in Christ? Do we truly love them as we should? What about our neighbor? Do we love them? Are we concerned about their soul? What about the less fortunate? Do we care about their condition enough to do what we can to encourage them, to help them? What about our enemies? We're even commanded to love our enemies. And how we respond to those around us is not going to be lost on our children. They'll see it. Secondly, we need to teach them God's Word. We need to teach them God's Word from the time they get up to the time they go to bed. Not just sitting down in a Bible study, but how we live our lives and what we do. We begin early in their life to form their minds with the light of God's Word. We need to teach them the truth about God, but we need to teach them also the truth in a way that is practical in their life. We need to teach them diligently. And we do that by also, again, keeping God's Word ourselves, following it, making application, and teaching them how to apply the Scriptures correctly. There is a famine today in this world when it comes to the Word of God. There are people who think they even know it. They may read it all the time, but they don't understand it, and they don't properly apply it. We need to learn how to properly apply the Scripture. We need to accurately, correctly divide it and use it. Help them to develop their own faith. They will not last. They will not endure on your faith. They will only endure through their faith. We need to help them develop their own faith. And faith comes by what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we need to teach them the Word of God. But also, listen, we understand they are going to be in a world that is hostile to the Word of God. And they're going to be challenged. What happens when we send our young people to college and they sit in a classroom and they hear this professor up there that's got all these PhDs and DDDs and whatever other letter you want to put behind their name, and they're up there telling your child God doesn't exist? And you think, in your mind, you know that professor's wrong, and you know how off the wall he is. And you might even feel a little pity for that fella because he's just so dumb, even though he's a professor. But listen, when they began to talk and they began to ridicule God and they began to throw out their arguments, if your child is not prepared to hear those arguments and know how to receive them and recognize them for what they are, if your child is not equipped, your child is in extreme danger. These fellows have smooth tongues. We need to understand that our children are in severe danger, and they need to be prepared for that. They need to know evidences and history. And something else, there are a lot of things in our culture that's wrong. There are a lot of things in the religious world that's wrong. And so-called Christianity, the way and the trend that it's been taking in the last 20 years, it's less preaching, less teaching, less detail, less doctrine, and more touchy-feely stuff, and more, let's feel good about it, less. No wonder our children become atheists, agnostics. No wonder so many fall away from the faith, fall away from even belief in a God. No wonder. They're not taught. It's not given to them in detail enough to where they can recognize it when these professors start throwing out all of these supposed arguments that they have. We need to be prepared. We need to prepare them. We need to teach them by living it. We need to be good examples before them. So we need to teach them God's Word. We need to discipline them properly. And that includes, and primarily it includes, positive enforcement of God's Word. It needs to emphasize respecting those in positions of authority, especially God's authority. Our young people need to know that God is God, we are His creation. Our young people need to know that parents are parents, not their best friend. Now, I truly do believe it's important to have a good relationship with your child. And you need to be friends in that sense. There is a sense. But first and foremost, you're a parent. You're the one that's in charge. And parents need to know that. Children need to know that. Mom and dad are the ones that are in charge. And children need to learn to respect that authority. We look around us today in our society, where is the respect for authority? Children aren't being taught that. When I was a young fella, a young boy, yes ma'am, no ma'am, yes sir, no sir. If you didn't, whack, you know, you got popped. That's the way it was. I learned to respect my parents. I learned to respect my elders. I learned to respect my school teachers. You think for a second that I'd smart off to a school teacher when I was a kid. Not only would I get whacked by the school teacher, I'd get whacked by my mom and my dad when I got home. Now you smart off to a school teacher, and your mom and dad are right there behind them, behind the kid that's smarting off to the school teacher. How dare you criticize my child? How dare you? It's not the fact or reality of your child being the greatest in the world. It might be, but they must respect authority. They must learn that and respect those who are over them. We've lost that. They need to learn how to work and to serve. That's all part of the discipline process. They need to be taught how to think correctly, how to see the world, how to see themselves. They need to understand how to think, to discern from what's right and what's wrong. That only comes with a proper teaching of God's Word. We need to help them develop a godly attitude, a perspective, a prism, a worldview, if you will, that sees the world through the eyes and the lens of Scripture instead of through humanism. Because they're going to be taught humanism in school. We need to punish disobedience. Today, spanking your child in the mainstream of our culture, spanking your child is considered child abuse. Did you know that? It's considered child abuse. And again, this ties in with the previous point about authority. The Bible is extremely clear about this. Chasten your child, your son, as mentioned over and over and over. He who spares the rod, the Bible says, hates his son. Discipline him promptly, and you will save him from death. Over and over, we see this in Scripture. But Dr. Phil comes along, spanking is bad. I think that we can see some of the results when we look around. What has happened when we start taking Dr. Phil's advice instead of taking God's advice? Can we see that? Can we see what's happening around us? You know, I preached a lesson on disciplining children several years ago. It's been a while. I remember there was a young family here that didn't agree with spanking their children, and they left. I certainly don't think you ought to beat your child. You should not abuse your child. But spanking should hurt. Spanking should get them to make this quick connection between doing wrong causes pain They need to learn that. They need to understand that doing wrong causes pain, because what we have to do is instill in them there are consequences for your choices. And we've done everything we can in our country today to remove all the consequences for sin. We just do everything we can to do that. So we need to understand, we need to learn that. Punishment for disobedience is something that we need to take seriously. Don't abuse them. No, should be no bruises, no cuts. But they need to know they've been spanked. When I was in school, again, this is a long time ago, but you didn't have the problems at school that we have now. When I pulled up on our school parking lot, when I was a junior and senior in high school, I had an old green 1964 Chevrolet pickup truck. In the back glass was a gun rack. And during the fall, it had two guns on it. When I pulled into the school parking lot, it had two guns on it. Nobody had a problem with that then. You didn't have problems with stuff like that back then. When I was in school, our principal in junior high, he had a paddle that was that long. It had a handle that was about that long so we could get a good grip on it. It was about that wide, had three holes drilled in it, and he swung it like a baseball bat. He would have you put your hands on his desk and bend over, and when he hit you, your feet came off the ground. Ladies and gentlemen, people behaved in school. Can't do that anymore. We need to teach them. We need to teach our children that sin has consequences. Bad behavior has consequences. We need to teach them to reverence God, to put God first. We need to teach them to worship God. We need to teach them the importance of following God's laws. And again, if we fail to follow God's will, there will be consequences. We need to teach them the value and the importance of assembling with the saints, because it is when we are together that we are made stronger. We do need each other. We need to teach them the importance and value of godliness in every respect of life, in every aspect of life. We need to teach them that. And all of this, you know, worshiping and serving God is not just something you do on Sunday. It's something you do every day. It's something that you do throughout your life. It is the way of life. We need to teach them that. And the only way that we teach them that is by doing that. We can tell them all day long how important God is, but if we don't feel like, you know, getting up early on Sunday morning and attending worship, therefore we don't go. We say one thing, oh, we need to honor God, while on the other hand, we don't honor God in our actions. And our children know that. Our children understand that. You know what? Our children are very perceptive. They understand a lot of things. I remember my mama used to tell me, she said, this spanking's going to hurt you more than it hurts me. I remember her saying that over and over again. And I thought, that's dumb. That's ridiculous. How in the world can you spanking me hurt you more than it hurts me? I understand it now, but I didn't understand it then. But you know what? I did know this. I knew this. I knew my mama loved me. I knew that. I didn't ever question that. We know. Understand and perceive that when we're loved and when our parents are being hypocrites or not. We can understand that. Children get it. When we are consistently attending services and consistently bringing them to Bible classes, when we are consistent in participating in worship and we're teaching them by our example, we help train them. I don't want to give the impression, though, that just dragging them to church every Sunday is enough, because it's not. Having them in services every time the doors are open, that's really not enough. It needs to go on at home on a regular basis to teach and to train. We need to take this seriously. Number five, I have a lot more to say about those last two points, but we do need to move on. Number five, we need to regulate their friends. And your children are not going to like this part. When they get to be teenagers especially, you're intrusive. And you are, you are hurting their interaction with people that they look up to or that they want to hang around. You're a cramp on their style. But that's okay. If we can shield them from ungodliness and from sin, that's what our duty and responsibility is. Don't think for a second that allowing your children to choose their friends that are worldly, they drink, they smoke, they cuss, they run around and have parties and, you know, all the sex and everything else that is so prominent in our world today. Don't think for a second by allowing your child to hang around those kind of kids. Don't think it's good for them. Don't think it helps them. Don't think it won't destroy them, because it will. Be not deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Don't be deceived. We have warning after warning after warning in Scripture of this very principle. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 15. Proverbs chapter 4. We have warning after warning after warning. And so, children may see it as intrusive, but in reality, they need to be respected or protected. And they need to respect your decision. Now, that does not mean that they have no freedom and no leeway when it comes to that. Nor does it mean that they're to be rude and to be mean to other kids. It means that they are to be guarded in who they hang around. We need to teach them the danger of sin and error. We need to teach them that their actions have consequences and that sin has consequences, and that children, they need to learn that sin and false doctrine is appealing and deceitful. They need to be made aware of these things. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about that. Eve was deceived. It was appealing to her. Sin always appears to be appealing, but it's also very deceptive and destructive. False teachers don't come around saying, "Hey, I'm a false teacher." False teachers come around in sheep's clothing. So we need to make them aware of that and warn them and prepare them. And we need also to ground them in the truth as much as possible, because it is by the grounding of truth that they understand the error when it does come. Now, the truth includes many warnings against sin and against false teachers and how sin operates and how we can inoculate ourselves from its power. We must take the weaponry that God gives us. So we need to warn them about sin and error. We need to teach them how to represent Christ in their daily life. Consistent godly living in our words, in our deeds, in our appearance. How should they dress? How should they talk? No, that's the parent's responsibility. What if the world teaches your child how to talk and how to walk, how to dress, how to behave? How are they going to behave? You need to teach them how God would have them to behave. And so teach them how to represent Christ. We are to be lights in the world. We need to teach our children to be lights in this dark and corrupt world. We need to teach them to be kind and good and merciful and obedient and loving. We need to teach them how to represent Christ in their daily life. Again, it's not just about dragging them to church every Sunday or in every Bible class on Wednesday night. It's not just that. We need to teach them how to behave and how to live their everyday life that glorifies God. We need to be patient and confident in trials and suffering. Teach them to be patient, because it is when we are patient in our trials and our suffering that we represent the attitude of Christ towards the things of this world. You know, the disciples in Acts chapter 4, they were bold when they appeared before the Sanhedrin court. And it was their boldness that they recognized, hey, these guys have been with Jesus. My friend, it's our boldness when we stand for the truth and we do what's right regardless of what other people think about us. That's when we stand out for the good of Christ. And you know what? People recognize that. And it impacts people. And it influences them. our patience and confidence in trials and suffering is something that only comes through a strong faith. That's why it's important to instill their faith. Help them to develop their own faith. And they need to be taught how to teach others about Jesus. Now, all these things, you know, we need to teach them. We need to teach them these things. This is the duty of the parent. The church has the responsibility to edify its members, to teach its members how to do the things that are required in life in order to please God. This is just one of those things. And the church has a responsibility here as well, absolutely. But it ultimately falls upon the parents, because it is the parents that these children are going to be with every day. It's your responsibility to teach them, to train them, to teach them how to follow Christ. Love. They need to learn how to love, and they need to learn it from you. And the best way to point them in the direction of understanding love and what it means is to point to Christ. It's to point to God, and this is what God has done for us. And you need to manifest that love in your life, and you need to teach it to your child. Knowledge. They need the knowledge of God's Word. They need to know what God's Word says. Ignorance of God's Word is, it's just a plan for disaster, without question. I mean, ignorance is destructive. Ignorance is certainly not bliss. But they need to know what God's Word says. They need to understand discipline. They need to be taught self-discipline. They need reverence. Esteem God in His proper position and worship Him and learn how to serve Him, and protection. Parents have a responsibility of protecting their children. And wisdom, how to apply the things of God to their everyday life and how they can honor God in their everyday life. So how do we raise children in a godly way today? We've got to help them to develop their own attitude that is godly. Help them to develop character that is godly. And we do that by training them. We need to help them to develop a desire to please and to serve God. That is our responsibility. Now, certainly, again, they have an opportunity and a choice to make. But we must first help them to develop, while they're young, a strong faith in God, and help them to develop that faith, and help them to develop that godly character that's necessary in life. Yes, they have a choice. And their choice is going to eventually be theirs and theirs alone. Have you prepared them to make the wise choice? Have you equipped them to be able to see the contrast between true godliness and the God which we serve and the world? Have you equipped them so they can really see the difference and understand the difference in the choices that they're making? That's our job. We cannot teach our children that which we do not know ourselves, nor that which we do not do ourselves. We can't give them what we do not have. So it is our responsibility, first and foremost, to increase our own love and knowledge and virtue and strength. Do we love and serve the Lord as we should? Do we truly put Him first in our life? If your children follow your steps, and maybe even more specifically, if your children follow the steps that you are traveling right now, or as you're raising them, where will they be for eternity? If your children follow your steps, where will they be for eternity? That's our responsibility, to help lead them to heaven. You know, this is not something easy, of course, to talk about. I know that. But I do know that it is extremely vital. Vital for you personally. It's vital for the church. It's vital for our community, for our society. It all begins with a home. I don't know of a more important thing for us to really focus on than the home. So hopefully these things have been instructive, helpful, and hopefully encouraging us all to do the right thing, to be the parents and grandparents even that we possibly can be. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation this morning, if you need to obey the gospel, whatever your need may be, won't you come while we stand, folks?
Why keep Jesus waiting?